You guys have a really, really beautiful, church here. But not just the building. What encourages me is when I come to churches and I see young people in churches. The reason that it encourages me is because a church that has young people in it is a church that has a future. And your church has a future. Your church has a future. So just before I start, Steve's just going to show a really, really quick video. If I can just draw your attention to the screen.
We have just put centers out of one mission. In schools, on faith, on the streets, and in prison. We are a movement of the unashamed, untamed, unconventional, unshaken truth that has one name, Jesus. We are kingdom communities by one word, Eden. My pastor said in office building 9 to 5, then on call the neighborhood 5 to 9. This is more than comfortable living, it's 24/7 life on life. It says, I'm lifting his cause rather than mine. We are welcome people of the United cause, an undivided love and a divided society proclaiming Jesus is Lord. More than performances or thrones, we are communities of fraction and of form. Where ex-drug dealers find freedom in Christ, where suicide runs the high. Where death turns to life, where the local thief becomes the urban hero, where 100 crimes become zeros. We are transformed lives. We are God-shaped enterprise, where ex-prisoners and addicts find their home and become more than a dream or hope. To the world saying, I can't do it, we say, yes, you can. You can be found. Find who you're meant to be, discover your identity in the midst of plans. We don't sit back while the generation dies. We advance through the city proclaiming real life. We train up the next generation to effectively proclaim Christ. We are a movement that lays down lives, refusing to hide. We go beyond music and take people higher. We're not about fame or being admired. From the one who proves to them who serve the thousands, we are unashamedly proclaiming Jesus. This is more than a job. We're born for this. We're confident to every tongue, race, faith, and nation. We are community transformation, equipping identity, proclamation. We are conveying the gospel with word and action, transforming lives, calling the next generation to rise. We are the message.
We are the message. As Paul said, Mount Chapel Church and the Message have a really, really long history, and so most of you will have a good amount of knowledge about who we are. But just in case you don't, and I apologise for my accent, I will try and speak slow. but just in case anybody doesn't, what I want to do is just really quickly just touch on who we are and what we do. So the Message are we're a Christian youth charity. We're based in South Manchester, and we've been around. We've actually just celebrated 27 years, but we actually began in 1988, which is more than 27 years. My math is really bad. I don't work in the accounts department because stuff wouldn't get done. But we actually began in 1988. Andy, our founder, and his brother Simon, they were fashion designers working in Manchester, and they created braces that were picked up by Princess Diana, and when she wore these braces, suddenly everybody wanted these braces. But Andy and his brother were basically a two-man show, and so in a panic they went to the job centre and they said, look, we need some workers, can you send some people who can help us make these braces? And so the job centre went, well, we've got people, but we're not sure that you want them. And Andy and his brother said, just send them. And so they sent a bunch of rough and ready scallywags to come to a factory and make braces. And when they came along, they brought all the problems with them. They brought all their issues with them. Some of them would turn up. They'd be there for half a day and then they would take off. Others would turn up and just wouldn't do anything. Some people would come up and they'd pocket more braces than they actually made. And so Andy went and he really prayed about it because God was starting to do something in his heart, and he thought, Lord, how can we get these guys on board? How can we get them to become industrious? How can we get them to really gel together as a community? And so he went and he was speaking to his church leader and about the situation. And when he was speaking to him, he looked up on the wall and there was a scripture from Proverbs that said, where there is no vision, the people perish. And he realized that young people didn't have a vision for their life. These young people were perishing because they didn't have a vision for their life. And as we know, the greatest vision that anyone can have for their life is Jesus. It's Jesus. And so Andy got together with his brother. They connected with church leaders all across Greater Manchester. And they said to them, if we go and we rent the Apollo and we put on a bunch of different bands and at the end we have an altar call, will you reach out to the young people in your community and bring them along? And churches said, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. And so in 1988, they put on what was called Message 88. And there was thousands of young people who, I believe that some people who are here were present that night, were up the front having a good old dance. You know who you are. Message 88 happened. Churches brought along young people, and young people came to Christ. But what happened was that when those young people then went back into community, a lot of them ended up kind of drifting away from church. And so God really moved in Andy's heart. And so he went and he connected with a couple of his friends who were musicians, and he said to them, let's get together, let's see if we can go into schools and reach out to young people in schools. And see if we can get them to come to Christ and then get them branched into church. And so Andy and his two friends they went and they began going into schools around about Greater Manchester and young people were coming to Christ and then getting branched back into church. But what happened was that the young people were coming to Christ and they were going to church. But then when they weren't in church, when they were going back into their communities, they were surrounded by unchurched people. And so it was really, really difficult for them to remain going back to church. And so really, everything that we do, every project that we've began, has begun as a result of somewhere that we've tried something that's failed in the past. Does that make sense? And so today, There's three main areas that we really try to specialise in. There's three main areas that we really try to champion. And so the first area is creative mission. You can see the lovely Daniel up there from Brightline. He's a great dancer. He's full of energy. He gets the kids up dancing. But we really, really focus on creative missions to schools. That's something that Andy started all those years ago, and it's something that we still focus on now. At the moment, on our books, we've got five different bands. So we've got Brightline, who are like, how do I describe Brightline? Poppy, kind of, I'm going to be really careful what I say here, hipster. Jonathan says that they're hipster, so we're going to go with that. But they're really, really good. And if you like to dance, then definitely give them a listen. So we've got Brightline, we've got Galactus Jack, who's a great DJ. We send him into schools as well. We've got a band called Amongst Wolves, who quote unquote will melt your face off. They're a really heavy band. We've got a couple of cheeky chaps called Soulbox who blend soul music with beatboxing, and they're really, really good as well. And the reason that we have the bands is because music is the language of youth. Music is the language of youth. And so what we do is we get the bands, we send the bands into school, and the bands are able to connect with young people on their level. And so they go in, they'll connect with them through music, and then at the end, they give them the opportunity to give their lives to Christ. So those are the band that are part of our creative missions department. We also have a ministry called Respect Me, which is a group of five people who go into schools and they speak to kids about the issues that they face. So they speak to them about peer pressure, they speak to them about body issue, about the S word, sex. They speak to them about self-harm and things like that from a Christian perspective. And again, at the end, they'll give them the opportunity to come to Christ. And then 2 years ago, we actually went and we began a new ministry called Enable. Enable is headed up by a guy called John Williams. John was born with cerebral palsy. When he was born, his mother was told that he would never walk and that he would never talk, he would never do anything. But through prayer and through faith, John now never sits still and he never shuts up. he's a family man. He has two kids. And literally, he's like a human dynamo. There's nothing that this man can't do. And so he has a real heart for young people who have special needs and who have learning difficulties. And so he goes into schools, he goes into churches, and he helps them to engage with these young people. The thing is that most churches, when it comes to dealing with kids who have special needs and who have disabilities, we see limitation. A lot of churches will tend to sit them in a corner, give them crayons and give them a piece of paper and tell them, you sit there and just draw a nice picture. But where we see limitation, God sees endless possibility. God sees endless possibility. And through Christ, there's nothing that they can't do. So it's become a really, really powerful and also the fastest growing ministry that's a part of the message at the moment. So that's our creative missions department. On top of that as well, a few years ago we began something called the Hire Tour. And the Hire Tour saw us send our band and our ministries into a number of high schools in Manchester over the course of a week. And then at the end of the week we then invited them back to the Apollo, where the bands went and the bands performed, and then at the end, Ben Jack, who heads up our Advanced Evangelist Network, he got up and he gave a message, and there was literally thousands of young people who came to Christ. The Hire Tour was done in connection with local churches, so in the planning for it, we were constantly connecting with local churches. We were helping them, helping to resource them, helping them to put in a plan whereby they could bridge these young people into their churches. So for a lot of young people who had never ever been churched, if you were to invite them straight to your church, a lot of them maybe wouldn't come, because a lot of young people, when they look at churches, they think of churches as being maybe a place of judgment, a place where they don't quite fit in. And so what we done was we helped churches to organise alpha courses in places like McDonald's and Starbucks, because a kid might not come to church, but if you ask them to come for a McDonald's, they're there before you. And so what happened was that we then helped the churches to run these alpha courses for between 6 and 8 weeks, during which time the young people were able to build relationships with the church leaders, and then at the end of it, asking them to come to church was so much easier and the response rate was so much higher because of it. So that's our creative missions department. Another area that we really, really focus on and try to specialise in, as I mentioned earlier. Sorry, just as we move on for this slide here. Yep. So next year again, let me just backtrack. Next year, our teams hope to be in contact with over 200,000 young people. 200,000 young people. That's 200,000 lives that could possibly be changed. 200,000 young people that could potentially come to know Jesus Christ. But it's far bigger than that, because for every young person that gets touched by the gospel, that's a family who come into contact with the gospel. That's a community that can potentially come into the gospel and in contact with the gospel. And our hope is, yes, to see young people in churches, but it's also to see entire communities resurrected by the power of God. Which then brings me on to my next topic. So the next area that we're really, really involved in is community transformation. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of young people were coming to Christ, and then they were going back into their communities, and it was really, really difficult for them to stay focused on God and the things of God, because the people around about them were moving in any direction except towards God. And so what we done was we began a project called Eden. Some of you may have heard of Eden, some of you may not have heard of Eden, but the Eden projects are groups of urban missionaries who basically leave where they're from and they move into some of the most deprived communities across the UK. We really, really focus on the top 10% most deprived communities in the UK. And so they move into these communities, they buy houses, rent houses in them, and they seek to affect change from the grassroots up. We'll go in, we'll begin like youth projects, we'll begin health projects, and through that we're then able to connect with the community and bring about change. A really, really powerful story from Eden was a few years ago some of our workers came into contact with a young girl on one of the Eden estates. And she was having real difficulty at school, and so some of the leaders on Eden got around about her. They began to school her, and she was able to get really, really good marks and her exams. And then as a result of that, she was then able to go on to study medicine and become a doctor. What happened was that because she'd been around about Eden, she still had this heart for her local community. And so after university, after qualifying as a doctor, she was then able to move back into her community to get a position as a doctor in her community. And then she found out about funding from the NHS that she was then able to apply for. And with the funding, she was then able to open up 3 health centres within her community. So that's a really, really beautiful, really, really powerful story, and how God can move really, really practically through people. As part of our community transformation as well, so something that we do is we do something called Message in Prison. And so a lot of the families that we were working with on our Eden estates, they were coming to know Christ, they were getting branched into local churches, but either husbands, fathers or the mothers were in prison. And so when they'd leave prison and they would then come back to the families, they'd bring their issues back with them. And so it was easy then for families to get pulled back out of churches. So we decided that in order to be proactive, that we would go and that we would begin working in prisons. And so that's something that we do now. I think we're in six prisons nationally at the moment. We're in men's prisons, women's prisons, and also in young offenders' prisons. We're in there speaking to young people and other inmates, presenting them with the love of Christ and walking them through the beginning of their journey, so that when they get ready to leave, they can come out and they can get connected with the message and with Eden. We've also opened up a 12-bedroom home called The Oaks in Withenshaw, which offers accommodation for people who are transitioning out of prison or who are coming from maybe from backgrounds of addiction. And they can come along. You'd be surprised, but there's a lot of people who are coming for those backgrounds who don't know how to do basic things. Like I've met a 23-year-old that I had to teach how to tie their shoelaces just because no one had ever sat and taught them how to tie their shoelaces. You know, it's little things like that are so easy for us to take for granted. But when they come to the Oaks, these are the things that we teach them. With Simon and Jane who head it up, they've got a real family vibe to them, and so they'll just love on people and just walk them through for a period of maybe between 18 months and 2 years until they're then ready to transition on to full-time employment. Just if you move on to the next slide. Up here, this is a new wall installation that we've recently had fitted at the Message, and it's just the names of people who've given up their lives and who've moved on to Eden Estates, and that's only a few of them. There's another part of the wall that's going to come in, but every year there's more and more people that are saying, you know what, Lord, here I am, use me. If we just move on to the next slide. Thanks very much. Yeah, so as I mentioned, when people are coming from prisons, or when people are coming from disadvantaged backgrounds, and they go through the Oaks afterwards, what we can do is we can provide them with jobs through our Message Enterprise Centre. If anybody's ever in Whiffenshaw, if anybody's over on the south side and you fancy a coffee, please pop in and visit us. Within our Message Enterprise Centre, we've got a number of businesses. So we've got the Mess Cafe. This is the lovely Joe up here. He looks great. His accent is a lot stronger than mine, another Scotsman. But Joe came from a really, really disadvantaged background. He was a heroin addict for many, many years, spent many, many years in and out of prison. His brother was a heroin addict. He died in front of him. His mother was an alcoholic. She passed away in front of him. And so when we first came into contact with Joe, he was carrying some baggage, you know. He was carrying some baggage, but he's actually gone from strength to strength. He's gone from what the Bible calls glory to glory, and he now works. He's now one of our chefs. He's been trained up to become to get his Michelin stars, and he's very, very good. So some of the other businesses that we run, so we've got Shine, which is our hair and beauty salon. So if you ever need a haircut, or if you ever need your eyebrows waxed, Andy, please feel free to come through. We've also got a building team, and we've got a gardening team. We also host large events, and each of our businesses is staffed by people who are coming from disadvantaged backgrounds. A number of our employees have come along and as well as working for us during the day, they're also being put through school as well. So they're continually learning, they're continually growing. So that after a few years, when they're finally able, they can then leave the Enterprise Centre and they can transition back into their communities and be agents of change themselves within their communities. If you just go to the next slide, please. Statistics show that 28.6% of adults and 40.4% of juveniles in the UK reoffend within 12 months. Our 12-month reoffending rate is just 2%. Only 2%. And that's purely that's God. That's God. It's only God that can do that. It's only God that can do that. As an organisation, there's so much that's going on, and we're growing really, really quickly. Sometimes I was saying earlier that sometimes it can be difficult to kind of keep up with where everybody's at and what's happening. And over the next 12 months, I know that Andy and the leadership, they want to do more and more and more. We want to employ more ex-offenders. We want to get into more schools. We want to see more communities changed. But we can only do that in partnership with others. We can only do that with your prayers. Please pray for us, because we really, really do covet your prayers. Everything that we do has been built upon that scripture in Isaiah, where we find Isaiah in chapter 6 in the temple. And he sees God. He sees the glory of God fill the temple. The Bible says that it was in the year that King Uzziah died. According to Jewish historians, King Uzziah and Isaiah were cousins. And here we find Isaiah grieving going through it, not knowing where his country's going to end up, not knowing what's going to happen. There's about to be a change in leadership. And where do we find him? We find him in the temple seeking God. We find him in the temple seeking God. And God appears before him. God appears before him. And in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, the Bible says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me." Isaiah was willing to be sent. He was willing to be sent. And as an organisation, we want to be an organisation that says, "Lord, wherever you want to send us, here we are. Here we are. Here I am, send me. Here we are, send me." That phrase, "here I am," I was looking at it in the Hebrew. And it's really, really interesting, because when we hear "here I am," it's almost like an off-the-cuff kind of remark. "Yeah, I'm here. I'm here." So some of us may remember being in roll call at school. Some of you guys may still go through roll call at school. You get up in the morning, you go to your registration class, you put your head on the desk, and the teacher says your name. "Sam Wright." "Sam Wright."
"Yeah."
"Sam Wright, I said I'm here." This "here I am" isn't the same as that kind of "here." That's like a half-hearted "here." But Isaiah's "here I am," the kind of "here I am" that we as the message want to say to God, is the kind of "here I am" that says, "Yeah, I'm here, I'm ready, and I'm focused, and I'm listening. Whatever you want, I'll do." The Hebrew word's hineni. Hineni. It says, "Yeah, God, I'm listening. Speak." Great people of faith have always made availability their trademark. And we want to be a people whose trademark is availability. A people who say, "Here I am." Throughout the Bible, there's loads and loads of people that say, "Here I am" to God. Some people, like Jonah, say, "Here I am, don't send me." Some people, like Moses, say, "Here I am, send someone else." But we want to be people who, like Isaiah, say, "Here I am, send me. I'm ready. Show me the way." In Genesis, God spoke to Abraham twice. In Genesis 22, verse 1, God's next words were that Abraham should sacrifice Isaac. When Abraham stepped into his call to be the father of the nation of Israel and the father of all who would inherit eternal life, he followed through in his response to God in this verse and story. Abraham, in the previous chapter, in chapter 21, had went, and God had given Abraham Isaac, the child of promise, the child that he had always longed for. Abraham had another son. He had a son called Ishmael. But Ishmael was a child that was the product of Abraham's impatience. God had promised Abraham that he would give him a son. But Abraham wanted a son now, in his time, not in God's time. And so he'd went and he'd shacked up with his maidservant, and they'd had a son, Ishmael. But what had happened was that God had said to Abraham, "Abraham, get Hagar and get Ishmael, send them away. Don't worry about them. I'll take care of them." And so Abraham had sent them away, and he was living his life with his wife at a good old age. He had his promised son. He was comfortable. He was comfortable. He was living a nice life. An easy life. He was in a positive place. You ever been in a good place? Yeah, man. Everything was good. And then God turned up. Sometimes when we're comfortable, God's got a habit of just turning up and just shaking us up, right? Just shaking us up. And he said, "Abraham, where are you?" And Abraham said, "Here I am. Here I am." And he said, "I want you to take your son. And I want you to sacrifice him." Abraham in that moment probably thought, "No, I'm not here anymore. Nope." But he was obedient. He was obedient. He thought to himself, you know what, God, if you gave me a son, even when I thought you couldn't give me a son, if I give you this, I'm pretty sure that you can resolve it. And so he then went and he took his son Isaac to Mount Moriah to sacrifice him. But just before he'd done that, God spoke to him again and he answered, here I am. Here I am. Maybe God spoke to you before in the past. Maybe you've heard this call and you've said, here I am. But maybe you've got a bit comfortable. Maybe you find yourself in a nice place. Maybe you find yourself in a positive place. But you know what? Again today, God's calling you. He's saying, where are you? I want to use you. I want to use you. Nice places are nice. But God's plan is to take you to what the Bible calls a spacious place. That's a place that's higher than you've ever been before. It's wider than you've ever been before. And it's deeper than you've ever been before. The same invitation that God gave to Andy 30 years ago is the same invitation that he's given out today. He's saying, where are you? Where are you? Young person, where are you? Older person, where are you? Like Jacob, we want to be an organisation that says, here I am. Jacob had went and he was working for his father-in-law. And God had really blessed him. He had 8 children. He had 4 wives. He had a good job. And God said to him, Jacob, where are you? And he said, here I am. And God said, I want you to get up. I want you to leave this country. And I want you to go. Jacob easily could have said, well, I've got a family to support. I've got 4 kids. I've got 4 wives. I've got 8 children. I've got cows. I've got sheep. Lord, I'm a busy man. I'm a busy man. He could have made excuses and they would have been valid. But instead he said, you know what, God, whatever you want, here I am. Here I am. The message, want to be an organisation who see here I am like Moses. Moses was walking in the desert and he seen a burning bush and he heard a voice saying, Moses, Moses, I don't know about you, but if I was walking through the desert and a voice came to me through a bush, I wouldn't say here I am, I would run. But Moses stops and he looks at the bush and he says, here I am, Lord. I'm here, I'm present, I'm in this moment. Whatever you have to say, say it. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. We want to be an organisation like Samuel. When Samuel was a child, he found himself in the temple. He's lying in his bed. And he hears a voice say his name 3 times. Samuel. 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 And the first 2 times that he hears it, he thinks it's Eli, the chief priest. And he gets up and he says, Eli, did you call my name? And Eli must have just looked at him and went, no, go back to bed. And he went back to his bed and again, Samuel. Until eventually he realised that it was God. It was God who was calling him. I believe that this morning, there may be people in here, and you think that you've heard God, but you're not sure if it is God. Maybe it's just your imagination. But it is God. God's saying to you, where are you? Are you available? God's calling you this morning. God wants you to say, here I am. As a message, we want to be like Ananias from the New Testament. Ananias was a Christian. And God spoke to him and said, Ananias, I'm going to send a guy called Saul to see you. Saul would later go on to become the Apostle Paul, but at the time, he was a religious zealot. He was a sectarian bigot. He'd been responsible for the murder of hundreds, if not thousands, of Christians. He was a local terrorist. If I was Ananias, I would have been like, oh, I don't know if that is God. it's a bit scary. But Ananias said, you know what, Lord, whatever you want, here I am. And so Ananias went and he met Saul. And he was able to look past the things that Saul had done and work with him in order to bring him to Christ and in order to help him lay a solid foundation for the rest of his future. As an organisation, we want to be like Ananias. We don't want to be scared to go where God tells us to go. We want to be a people who stand up and say, do you know what, God, wherever you send us, we'll go there, because we know that you go before us, that you're the one who makes the way straight, that you are the one who levels mountains, who raises up valleys. God, you are for us, and if you are for us, who can be against us? And this morning, that same call is that went out to Ananias, that's the same call that God's issuing forth this morning. God's calling you to go places. God's calling you to do things that you've never ever done before, safe in the knowledge that he is for you, that he is not against you. As an organisation, we desperately want to be like Isaiah. We desperately want to say, when God says, where are you? Who will go? Who will I send? We desperately want to be a people who stands up and says, we will go. Send us. We will go. Send us. We want to be a people who are available. A man applied for a job as a handyman. This is a really, really bad joke. I'm just giving you warnings. A man applied for a job as a handyman. The prospective employer asked, can you do carpentry? The man said no. How about bricklaying? Again, the man said no. The employer said, well, what about electrical work? The man said, no, can't do electrical work. Finally, the frustrated employer said, well, tell me then, what's handy about you? And the man replied with a beaming smile on his face and an excitement in his voice, I live just around the corner. All God requires of us is availability. All God requires of us is availability. You might sit there and you might think, well, how can God use me? Sam, you don't know what I've done in the past. I don't know what you've done in the past. God knows what you've done, and he loves you and he can use you anyway. You might sit there and you might think, oh, I don't know, right? I've got responsibilities. I've got things to take care of. That's fine. God's got big hands, put them in his hands, he'll take care of them. God isn't really interested in your ability. He doesn't care if you don't have skills, he doesn't care if you don't have talents. I've not got any skills, I've not got any talents, and he uses me. God's not interested in your ability. He's interested in your availability. And when you prove your dependability, it's funny because God will increase your capability. I don't know if you caught that. God doesn't begin by asking us about our ability. He's only concerned about our availability. And when you prove your dependability, God will then increase your capability. When you give yourself fully to God, God will increase your capacity. The Bible says that you can do all things through him. The first question that God ever asked Adam in Genesis chapter 3 verse 9 is the same question that he asked Andy. It's the same question that he's asking us. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 9, God says to Adam, where are you? Where are you? Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? Jonathan, you want to come up and just play a bit? This morning. Where are you this morning? Where do you find yourself this morning? Wherever you find yourself, if like Isaiah you find yourself grieving, know that God's in it with you. If like Jacob you find yourself loaded with cares, just know that God is in it with you. If like Abraham you find yourself in a nice place, a comfortable place, a positive place, God is in it with you, and he's calling you out to so much more. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 9, when God stepped into the garden and he said to Adam, "Where are you?" The Bible says that Adam hid. Adam hid because he was ashamed. Because he felt naked. Adam hid. But you know what? God is everywhere and there's nowhere that we can hide from him. And it doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who your family are. God wants to use you. Hiding doesn't work. This morning, just with every head bowed and every eye closed, God's asking, "Where are you? Will you let me use you?" There's communities out there that need you. There's young people out there, and I may not speak their language, but you do. God has a plan for your life. You may find yourself like Abraham. Maybe years ago you said, "God, here I am." Today he's asking you, will you say it again? Will you say it again? Maybe you've never ever said, "Here I am," before. Maybe you've never heard God's voice before, but today you're hearing it for the first time. Nobody's watching. Nobody's looking. I just want to extend an invitation. This morning, if you feel like God's spoken to you, if you feel like God's talking to you, if you feel like he's asking you, "Where are you?" I want you to be brave. And just raise your hand. And just say, "God, here I am. God, here I am. Use me. I'd love to pray for you." See your hand. See your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Just going to take a moment. Father, is there one more? Is there one more? Amen. Amen. Father, this morning, we thank you, Lord, that you never give up on us. That you continually call us home. That you continually ask us, "Where are you?" This morning, Father, we reply, "Here we are. Here we are. In the presence of the Creator of the universe. Safe in your hands." Father, I pray, Lord, for every hand that went up. I pray, Father, that today that you would draw closer to them than ever before. Father, that where they need direction, that you would direct them. That where they need vision, Lord, that you would envision them. Where they need peace, that you would sing that over them. Father, for everyone else, God, I just pray, Lord, that they would come to experience that spacious place, Father, that you're calling them into. I pray, Father, that in the coming weeks and months, Lord, that they would come to experience you in a way that's higher, deeper and wider than they ever have before. Father, I speak blessing over them. Help us to glorify you this morning in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.